Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
To Filibuster here on the Nerd Party Network. In a very special episode of Filibuster, I'm joined by two of France's finest talents, writer-director Alice Winokur and actress Lola Creton. Alice Winokur takes us behind the scenes of our upcoming movie Proxima, starring Eva Green, which will be arriving in UK cinemas on August 31st. So here's a little bit about the movie. Sarah is a French astronaut training at the European Space Agency in Cologne. She's the only woman in the RGS programme. She lives alone with Stella, her 8-year-old daughter. Sarah feels guilty that she cannot spend more time with her child. Her love is overpowering, unsettling. When Sarah is chosen to join the crew of a year-long space mission called Proxima, it creates chaos in the mother-daughter relationship. And in the second interview, I'm joined by Lola Creton, the amazing French actress who has starred in movies directed by Mia Hansen-Love, Oliver Assayas, and Claire Denis. Lola shares her experiences of working on some of France's most acclaimed films of the past decade, and much more. I'm so excited to be joined by these two amazing women. Alice is the writer of one of my favourite films of recent times, Mustang, and Lola has been on the bucket list of dream guests for this show for a long time. So thank you so much to both of them for joining me on this episode, and I hope you too will enjoy them. Yeah, so Alice, my first question is, your filmography has a lot of focus on women and younger characters. When did the idea come around to explore these dynamics and paternal characters, but with the focus on a journey to space?
Yeah, I don't really know. You know, it's a bit difficult to know where ideas come from. I had a fascination from space since my childhood, but I didn't know anything about space. And I'm not a fan of the space movie either. But I had a poetical fascination for space. And I decided to go to the European Space Agency in Cologne to meet some trainers there, some astronauts. And I fell in love with that world, which was, to me, really unknown.
You touched on sort of your research there. What was sort of the research process like for this film? How long did it sort of gestate before we kind of got what we saw? And was there anything you learned from your research that informed the film?
Yeah, and just I forgot to tell you before that, of course, this place to me was the place where I could, like, because the film is about the relationship between a mother and a daughter. And because I'm a mother myself, it was as well a very intimate story. But then about the process of researching, yeah, I've been writing for 2 years and I went to Cologne, but also to Star City, which is a closed city that is near Moscow and in Kazakhstan, where all the rockets launch from all over the world. It's the only place where you can actually leave the planet. So, of course, it was very inspiring, and it was not like, you know, like sometimes in films you have a consultant and this person like gives you advices and when the script is finished. But for me, it was more a process of writing with astronauts, writing with trainers, and spending a lot of time with all of them.
Did it feel important to sort of humanize these astronauts? So often they're simply portrayed as heroes and utterly without flaws, the best of the best. I think of that line in the film, there's no such thing as a perfect astronaut, like there's no such thing as a perfect mother. What was it like sort of meeting these, you know, astronauts and discovering their fears, their worries, and what made them like truly these incredible people that can do something that so little of us can ever imagine doing?
Yeah. No, it's very true that you mentioned this sentence, which is it's Madeleine who said this in the film, and to me it was really the most important sentence in the film. That of course it's there's no such thing as a perfect mother, and because the paradox of the astronaut, you know, is that being an astronaut is an experience of fragility. You know, and vulnerability, which is of course not the thing you are you see in American movies, for example, where it's always the same idea of a very, like, there's no place, you know, for vulnerability in those films. And when I went to the space centers, I realized how fragile human body was, you know, and you experience this. We have been designed for this planet, for the Earth. We are Earthlings, and it's a very painful thing to go to the to space. You know, you lose your sense of balance. Your cells grow older. You grow from 3 to 4 inches. So it's very painful, and I wanted to show. Because to me, in my work, this relationship to body is very important. And so I wanted to show how hard it was to leave our planet.
What made Eva Green the first choice for this film to be your woman off into space?
I think I have always been fascinated by her as an actress. And I like that she has a strangeness and at the same time, kind of strength. And I think it's not a coincidence that she is in so many Burton movies, that she's a kind of Burton's character herself in real life. She's also very funny, which is not something we really know. But I like the idea to have her also, because to me, she's a kind of Amazon. And to imagine her also, this Amazon with a daughter of seven, was something that was interesting for me. Because you always see mothers in cinema, the same kind of women.
Her and, I hope I get this name pronounced, her and Ziel Beyond, they make a great double pairing at the heart of this film as the mother and child. How difficult was it finding the right child actor for such a critical role?
It was quite hard. I have a daughter of that age, and to me, the most difficult thing was to forget her, because I had proposed her, my daughter, to play with Eva, and she refused this. And she said, if one day I want to shoot with some director, it would be someone else. It won't be you. So I had to have this casting process and to find the right little girl. And Zélie, it was like really a kind of love at first sight, that I thought she reminded me my daughter, but she also reminded me as a child. And it was really something really surprising to me, because of course the film is the story of the mother, but it's also the story of the daughter in the story of separation, and I could really identify to her.
I love that the film avoids the tension of her loved ones trying to stop her from living her dream. Everyone's rooting for her success. However, she does naturally have her own guilt and concerns. Did you always want to sort of avoid those cliches and stereotypes that people might expect from a movie about a parental figure going into space?
Yeah, it's something I was really afraid of. Like, I wanted to show like a kind of love story between a mother and a daughter, and how hard it was to separate. But and the script is constructed as like different stages of separation, like the different stages of the rocket, you know, when it leaves the Earth, it has to separate. And so, yeah, it was, of course, I was inspired by my relationship with my daughter, but I wanted to make this relationship really strong, but not... because the little girl is really like a person, and she's not like, sometimes I think child are sometimes a bit silly in films.
The film focuses on the challenges of the space training program and a small group of them going in towards like isolation towards the end of the film. Has the film taken on a new edge since sort of this COVID lockdown? I saw it in February in Glasgow, surrounded by hundreds of people. And then you think, oh, that's fascinating. And I remembered sort of, I think you'd said at the time of like, well, you are kind of in isolation, but you can still kind of actually pop out. It's not sort of like completely sort of secure. Is it quite surreal sort of now that this film is kind of coming out sort of in a very different place a few months later. Do you think people will look at this film and take different things from it about the challenges these astronauts go through and maybe relate to them a little bit more?
Yeah, it's very true that it was like this quarantine. I didn't know anything about it. I think we've all experienced what is the real quarantine right now. And that's really what astronauts experience. They spend more than 3 weeks before like the day of the launch. And they can't see their family. They are separated from a glass and they can't touch through the glass. And to me, it was really cinematic. Like it reminded me like Paris, Texas, you know, the scene between Nastassia Kinski and her ex-husband. And but yes, when I was in lockdown, I realized also I felt a bit like an astronaut because, you know, those astronauts, they do this to prevent from germs and virus, not to bring virus in space, but also to prepare themselves to like to get into another world. Like there is a kind of meditation aspect, you know, like to think about your life and to prepare yourself to silence and listen to get another rhythm of life. And I think everyone experienced this during lockdown.
What was it like sort of shooting on kind of location at this amazing kind of spot? You know, as you say, it's the only place really on Earth that people can now travel into to space and their facilities. What was that opportunity like to sort of go behind the curtain?
I think I was very lucky and I'm really thankful to the European Space Agency and the Russian Space Agency that allowed me to go to those very closed center, those secured military places. And at first I thought it would be impossible to get the authorizations, and I felt really privileged to go there. We had to go with all of the crew, you know, we were like, there was a German crew, then a Russian crew, and we had to go through those checkpoints to get into those closed cities. And we were shooting while astronauts were exercising, and sometimes it was really fun because astronauts were amazed to see Eva Green in that place, you know. One of them, Luca Parmitano, was in love with her. and since when he was a student and so he was like, I thought he almost fainted when he saw her.
Is it important to have a film like this that champions women in STEM and shining a light on, as you say, sort of a lot of people kind of get focused on sort of NASA, Space Kennedy Center, but we have a big kind of space community here in Europe that seems to be kind of growing. How important is it to have a film like this that shines a light on women in this, you know, sector and hopefully will encourage people to pursue a career within it?
Yeah, we have seen already a lot of women in space movies. I mean, my film is not a space movie. It's more like an Earth movie, like a movie about Earth and how difficult it is to leave the Earth. But in those kind of films, we have seen like strong women that were astronauts, but all of them were not mothers. If they had children, like in Gravity, if they have children, they are dead, you know. And superheroines in cinema in general never have children. And I think for scriptwriters, it's difficult to imagine those children that could prevent them from their mission. But in real life, women have missions, and at the same time, they have to take care of their children. And even if things are changing, they still do most of the job, you know. And so I thought it was really interesting to show those women. There are only 10% in the world of astronauts, but still they are there. And at the very end of the film, I decided to show those pictures, which are pictures that the astronaut that I met gave me of them with their children, like personal pictures. And you don't really see those pictures, I think. I was wondering why, and there is a trainer at the European Space Agency who told me that those women were never, she had trained a woman astronaut, and she learned at the very end of the training, 6 months after the beginning of the training, that she had kids, and she said nothing about it. And yeah, it was a kind of shame.
Have you had much reaction from people within the kind of the space community, or even that sort of that 10% of women that are sort of involved in the kind of space programs? Have you had kind of much response to the film from that area?
Yeah, a lot of very emotional response, because Julie Payette, who is the actual governor of Canada, told me that for her being a mother was the best school to become an astronaut, because that's how she learned her multitasking, and she said it was very moving to have a film that was at last showing that you could be a good mother and a good astronaut, and that it was, yeah, to show that we could be also mothers. Because to me, of course, all this world of space is a metaphor for other women. You don't have to be an astronaut to have those kind of dilemmas between your work and your family.
Do you get a lot of that sort of as a director yourself, that, you know, it's an industry similar to space where females are very kind of underrepresented in terms of, you know, directing? And a lot of the arguments people are making about women in space, we've heard so many times about why the people are kind of claiming women aren't kind of more prominent directors.
Yeah. Because I think the problem, of course, you see like Matt Dillon and those kind, and to have those macho sentence in the film, but to me, it's not the problem. That the problem, because as women, we are used to those kind of macho like things. But the worst thing, I think, is the self-censorship. Why there is only 10% of women astronaut, I think it's because women fear that they don't even dare to dream they could do those kind of jobs, because they still think they have to choose between their career and their family, and if they want kids they think it's not possible. And it's because of the society that made you think and that you had to choose, and if you do it, you feel guilty about it, and you have to live with that guilt. And I think it's something that men don't have to experience.
And finally, is it exciting to see a film like this get an opportunity in, obviously, Picture House is releasing it here in the UK, but we're also going to see this film in multiplexes as well, as sort of part of the wave of films that are going to be encouraging people to get back to the cinemas. Is it exciting to be part of that wave of films that we're going to kind of, people will have the opportunity to see and might have a better chance of seeing than in usual kind of circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have been there in London to promote the film and without this virus but I think, there's hope that cinemas are reopening, and I'm very proud that Proxima can be part of this reopening thing. But I hope people will go to movies and will be happy to go.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you giving up some of your time, and good luck with the film and everything that's to come. And I just want to say Mustang is one of my favourite films, so it's been a real pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you so
Take
much.
Take care.
But each night brings the stars and the song in my heart. Is a tune for the journeyman's tale.
Did you always want to be an actor?
I was in my first short movie when I was 9. It's called Imago. It was a short movie by Ali Naon. And it was for me like a revelation. Yeah, I feel really great on a shooting. I feel like at my place. It was really soft, and I really like it. So this feeling never go.
Were there films and actors that inspired you to pursue this as a career?
No, not really. It's not a movie who pushes me to go in. It's not a movie I said to me, this movie is so extraordinary, I want to do what they do. No, it was not like that. It was really because I've already did it. It was really because I did it, I lived it, that I want to continue.
What was it like turning that passion into a career? Is it difficult in France to become an actor, or is it kind of, are you supported to achieve those goals?
No, I don't know. My parents are so. I'm in a family who accept that, even if they knows how complicated is it. It's not easy every day, but I was already in this environment, so it was not like if I was in a lawyer family or a doctor's family. I was born in an artist's family, so it was not really a question about the regards of others, judgment of others. There was really not a question.
You came to prominence and to attention of a generation of film fans with your role in Goodbye First Love as Camille, in Mia Hansen's Love's film. When did you sort of first hear about the role, and what was the audition process like?
Yeah, for Mia saw me in a movie I made with Catherine Breillat, Bluebird. She saw me in it, and she called me, and we met in a coffee. I was 16 years old, yeah. And she wanted to meet me. And I remember she was pregnant. And we stayed together for a very, very long time until I started talking. And it was at first, it was a meeting at this coffee. And but I know something special happened between us that day. And after a few months later, I passed the audition. And she wasn't pregnant anymore. And she called me a week later and gave to me the script.
What did you think when you saw that script? I've read, it's obviously quite an autobiographical kind of film. Mm-hmm. What did you make of it when you opened this? You're a young actress, and it's quite a demanding role.
Yeah, exactly. I was so excited about the project. I read the script on the way. I sat on a bench on the street for an hour, and I read the script in one go before I went home and tell my mom I got it. And yeah, it was so obvious. We passed a lot of time together in this coffee, and I already know the script before she gave it to me. And it was, when I read it, it was obvious to the beautiful, it's gonna be a beautiful movie and a great adventure for me, because it was on, the film take place on 6 years, 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, take place in 6 years. So it's really interesting for a young actress to pass to 16 young girls at 23 young girls too, but not 16. Yeah.
Was it exciting, nervous, thinking, I've got this role which is gonna, as you say, span many years.
It was only exciting.
That's amazing.
The shooting during 56 days. there was 56 days of shooting, and I have to be there every day. I was so excited. It was not scary or just exciting.
Does there come a pressure with that, knowing that you've got to be there every single day? I think you're in every single scene of the film as well. Was that a kind of exciting proposition to have all of that to yourself, really?
Yeah, I wasn't pressure. I never that anxious about a scene, a shooting, or I love that so much, and I trust the directors. So I don't know if it's something I can do or I can't understand, or there are here for that. It's the naked was a question for me, because it's not easy to be naked in front of people who don't know, and to think after to the public. Mm-hmm. But it's not insurmountable.
The relationship, obviously, between Camille and Sullivan feels so lived in. Did you have time before the shooting of the film to develop that with the actor Sebastian, hopefully I can pronounce this right, Erzendowski?
Sebastian Erzendowski. Yeah, but not that much time. Mia searched a long time for this role. A long time, and she didn't find it. And one day she came back from Berlin, and she told me, "Oh, I found Sullivan." And I was like, "Okay," but he was in Berlin, so it was okay. And we met, but not that long before.
What was it like, kind of, during the shooting, kind of developing that relationship that, you know, we see on the screen? Was it quite an exciting kind of pairing to work together?
Oh, it was really good. The first scene we had together was the naked scene. So we were like, okay, we were both intimidated by that. So it was a good start, because we were at the same level, at the same...
I suppose when you're kind of at the, you know, you've got a scene like that, the only way it can get is easier, I guess.
Yeah, it's difficult, so we are in the same mood. So so we started in the same ship. Really, really in the same ship. And Sebastian is a so delicate person, and a really good actor, and he's really a really, really good and an empathic person. So it was really easy for all along of the shooting.
You mentioned this, there's a time gap in the film. You go from 16 to 23. Was that a challenge for you to play someone older and kind of a younger version of this character? How did you sort of take on those two sort of very different roles in a way?
Yeah, it was not really a question, because it was a weird weird way to do that, because we in the same day we can shooted scenes when Camille was 16, and after 33, and after we go back to 16. So it was a little a mess. So I had no time for question. I had to do at the right place in time now. So and of course Mia helped a lot with that. The costume helped a lot. And the script, I when I shoot, I know the script really well. I know when the scene happens. I know the chronology perfectly. Mm. Yeah, the works was before for the chronology, and it was my work. I read the script, and I know it exactly.
What was Mia like as a director to work with? It sounds like you had a fantastic kind of working relationship together throughout.
She's very meticulous, so she does a lot of takes. I know some people don't really like it, but it doesn't bother me at all. I like, yeah, this way of working. We made like 20 takes. It's a lot, but I like it. I don't. It's yeah. And yeah, we were. It was. I was really shy. So it was, I think, not easy for her because I was not a chatty person, but yeah, I was really young. She was young too. She was 30, so she was young too, and it was sensible. Yeah.
What was your process for developing the character? Were you able to bring, as a kind of 16-year-old yourself, much of your experiences and insights to this role? How did you go around developing it and getting into the mindset?
Yeah, it was not easy because it's a love story, and I had not love story ever, so I was like, why she's in love with him? Why she's sad for him? It was a little, yeah, but I think he doesn't deserve her love because at this period I had never fallen in love in my life, so I didn't understand why she puts himself in this sadness but I just played how it was right.
You were saying obviously this was someone that was, you know, not necessarily kind of relatable to you. Did you find it interesting when obviously this film came out, a lot of people related to perhaps your character? What was it like when kind of people would talk to you about this kind of role? Did you expect the film to have such a breakout success and appeal to people?
No, I didn't expect it that. I really didn't expect the impact of this movie on some guy, a lot of guy, not that much woman. It was boys who recognize something of their youngness, love.
That's fascinating. I wonder what it was that appealed to so many young men where they could relate to your character like that.
Yeah. It's funny.
Has the kind of the success of the film been a surprise? You know, here we are years later, we're talking about it. It's, you know, my personal favourite of Mia's films. Does it feel kind of special for it to... You have played such a huge role in that film, and you know, it seems so kind of special.
Yeah, it was really special. But in France, not that many people saw it. There is, but no that much. So, but it was really special because the film was in many festivals, and so in all of this country, and yeah, it was my first time for, you know, all the promos things, and it was really new for me. But I learned a lot about this part, the accompaniment of a movie for the release, for the festival, and it was not easy at first. It's still not my favorite part of the job, but it's important to for the people to can see, want to see the movie.
What was it like as a young actress kind of traveling the world with this film around the festival circuits? Was it an amazing experience to kind of go on tour with the film?
At first, not really amusing, because I changed a lot, but I was really, really shy. So it was really, really difficult for me. I was really lonely in the middle of that. I was really, yeah, not at my place. I don't feel that good, but now yes, now I know how it is for, how it works, but yeah. so that I learned a lot, really a lot on this movie, during, before, during, and after. Really, it's a film, it's an adventure who spread my wings.
You followed up Goodbye First Love with Something in the Air, working with another outstanding French director, Oliver Assayas. Christine is a very different character to Camille. What appealed to you about that role, and what was it like to work with Oliver Assayas?
Yeah, that role is really close to me. All the politics thing, really my interests. So, at first, Olivier doesn't want to see me because by delicacy. Because at first, I had just met Mia's film at a lead character, and he was with Mia, so at first he didn't want to see me, but I really, really insist, and at the end he finally gave in, and I passed the audition, and he chose me, it was a really, really cool adventure. It's Olivier, he's a shy person too, so we didn't talk much. We watching each other work, adjusting softly, but we didn't talk that much on the shooting. I think Olivier's work with his actors is done at the casting. When he chooses them, he trusts them. He doesn't give too much indications on the shooting.
That's fascinating. And did you enjoy doing a period piece? I was kind of wasn't very aware of this period of French history, so it was a real lesson for me. What was it like for you to do a period piece about such an exciting time in France's history?
Oh, it was cool. I loved. I really loved costume, and it's the movies I prefer to do. It's when there is costume, there is another time. It's so more exciting. We are, yeah. It's a child thing. We're disguised. I love it, and this period in France, my grandparents are communist and and were really engaged during this moment, 68, 69. And in France, we know the stories, we know what we achieved during this period. So it wasn't a period we don't know anything about. It's a legacy.
Yeah.
It's a legacy. Well.
Assayas seems to be a director that is, you know, he loves writing about strong female characters. I think of things like this film, Goodbye, Personal Shopper, Clouds of Sales Marie. What is it? What was it like to be sort of a female lead in one of his films? You know, sort of you're there alongside Kristen Stewart, Chloe Grace Moretz, Juliette Binoche.
Yeah,
there's quite a legacy of these strong female characters like your one in his filmography. What's that like to be a part of that kind of, I suppose, legacy of characters too?
It's amazing. It's he's such great director. So when you love the work, when you love the work with the work of the director, you. With who you shoot it, it's magic. And I had the chance to work with a lot of director that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always un bonbon. It's always like a candy. It's a candy. And Olivier has a really feminine energy.
I remember you appearing in after this run of films, I remember you appearing in a British soap drama, Hollyoaks, in their spin-off, Hollyoaks Later. How did you go from French cinema to this British TV drama? How did that kind of come around?
I didn't really remember that. The director saw me, with... all this movie, Animal de Jeunesse, après May, I don't know the title in English. After the Olivier's film, we travel a lot, the movies travel a lot. And I passed a self-tape for this work, and I don't know. Yeah, it worked. I don't know why.
What was the difference between, say, working with a French crew and then sort of, you know, working in the UK? Was it quite a different experience? What was the kind of the experience like shooting on that?
I don't really know because I only had one experience in England with English crew, so... I can't really say, but it seems like in France, we are more the crew are more mixed. You know, the technician and the actors, and we are mixed. We laugh together, and I thought. In England, it was the actors are in a side and the director in a side, and you know, I don't know if it's clear, but
yeah.
And I don't know if it's on all English shooting. It's just this one, and I wasn't there that much to tell, but it was just a sensation.
You worked with Claire Denis on Bastards. What was your experience like working on that film? It provoked a lot of strong reactions, as her films tend to do. What was that one like to work on?
It was amazing. Like the other, it was Claire's called me, and it was a proposal. Claire's proposal arrived just as I was thinking, I need something rough, a little more rough. And she called me, and like the others, we met at a coffee. She gave me the script and said, I'd like it to be you. And she also said me, I hope you don't take this the wrong way and that you won't get hurt you, because it's a hard part. And it was. But so I read the script, and it was a very beautiful script, as I rarely have the opportunity to read it. It was very intense, a story as it was, simple in all its brutality. So I recalled her the next day, and I said, I'm okay with it.
What was it about that kind of stage of your career where you were looking for, as you say, like that rougher roles? Was it something, what was it that kind of inspired that kind of search for that type of role?
It's for the amusement, to not stay in a kind of part, mm-hmm. to move, to... In France, it's really difficult to move in different kind of part. We call you for the same thing all the time. Yeah, I needed someone who look at me in another way.
You kind of worked with a bucket list of French directors. Who else is on your list that you would love to work with in the future, whether it's from France or around the world?
Oh, they are a lot. I can't say. So many. In France, I want to work with, in French, I want to work with Les Frères Dardenne, with Mai Wen, with Daniel Arbide, with Philippe Lioré, with there are so many, and in the world too, like Andrés Vaginsev, Fatih Akin, there is so much. Les Merveilles, c'était Pauline Rost, Alice Rohrwacher. There is a lot.
There's a huge list there. You've been a staple of French film and shorts. For those looking to maybe dive further into your filmography, what work and roles would you recommend people seek out? Like if they were having a marathon of your work during lockdown, what kind of would you recommend people to check out that they might not have seen or had a chance to?
Yeah, I definitely recommend Goodbye First Love. And... and yeah, recently a film, Corniche Kennedy, a film I shot with the director was Dominique Cabrera, and it's on Netflix since a month, so it's a good opportunity to see that movie who wasn't seen by many people, so maybe Corniche Kennedy on Netflix. Too, and I don't know all of them. we have time.
Exactly. How do you think kind of the French cinema industry is going to cope with the coronavirus? It's crazy to think there's no Cannes Festival this year. How do you think the cinema industry in France and Europe is going to cope and get out of this situation and back to making films again?
I really, really don't know. I really don't know. No, nobody knows. I read the discussion between cinema experts and, but we don't know. The truth is we don't know. We don't know if we can go back to work in September or in July or in so that make a large difference if we can go back to work in July or in September. And also, you know, governments don't put that much money in culture anytime. So I don't know they continue to do that, to not put that much money in culture. I don't know.
Have you got anything coming up that you'd recommend people to maybe keep an eye out for in the near future?
People keep an eye on what? On what their own governments do. Not let them do everything they want because of the coronavirus. Maybe keep an eye on it.
Have you got any kind of exciting roles yourself kind of coming up in the future that you managed to get kind of shot and made before the lockdown begun?
Yeah, it was in preparation, but it's really uncertain because it was a small production, so they don't have many money. And if the lockdown during a long time, they don't have money to do it. So no, for the moment, I can't say anything. I'm not sure to do it.
While we're in lockdown, what have you been checking out, watching and listening to? What's been kind of how have you been spending your days?
Oh, you know, we actors have been in this situation all the time. I mean, we are waiting and uncertain every day. We never know what will happen next, not even tomorrow. We always expect something that never comes, or conversely something happened that we never expected. So it's perhaps we are the most prepared for this situation. It doesn't change much to the uncertainty of our lives. So I do what I do. I read, I write, I draw, I had fun and making videos for Instagram or.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you, and I'm fingers crossed everything kind of gets back to normal soon. I look forward to kind of your next and future roles.
Yeah, I hope so, and I hope everything gonna be okay for everybody and every countries, because it's a mundial shit.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.